Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Okay, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the seventh canto, chapter 3. Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. We're in verse number 11. Anyate dam vidhase ham ayata purvam ojasa kim anyai kala nirdutahai kalpante Vaishnavadibhi Anyate dam vidashe ham Ayata purvam ojasa Kim anyaha kala nirdutai Kalpante Vaishnavadibhi Anyate dam vidase ham Ayata purvam ojasa Kim anyai kala nirdutai Kapante vaishnavadibhi Vaishnavis. Anyata, just the opposite. Idam, this universe. Vidhasye, shall make. Aham, I. Ayata, inappropriate. Purvam, as it was before. Ojasa, by dint of the power of my austerity. Kim, what use? Anyai, with other. Kala nirudhutai, vanquished in due course of time. Kalpa ante, at the end of the millennium. Vaishnava aribi, with planets like Dhruvaloka or Vaikuntha Loka. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. By dint of my severe austerities, I shall reverse the results of pious and impious activities. I shall overturn all the established practices within this world. Even Dhruvaloka will be vanquished at the end of the millennium. Therefore, what is the use of it? I shall prefer to remain in the position of Brahma. Please repeat. By dint of my severe austerities, I shall reverse the results of pious and impious activities. I shall overturn all the established practices within this world. Even Dhruvaloka will be vanquished at the end of the millennium. Therefore, what is the use of it? I shall prefer to remain in the position of Brahma. Purport. Hiranyakashipu's demoniac determination was explained to Lord Brahma by the demigods, who informed him that Hiranyakashipu wanted to overturn all the established principles. After executing severe austerities, people within this world, or material world, are promoted to the heavenly planets. But Hiranyakashipu wanted them to be unhappy, suffering because of the diplomatic fillings of the demigods, even in the heavenly planets. He wanted those who were harassed in this world by material transactions to be unhappy for the same reason, even in the heavenly planets. Indeed, he wanted to introduce such harassment everywhere. One might ask how this would be possible, since the universal order has been established since time immemorial. But Hiranyakashipu was proud to declare that he would be able to do everything by the power of his tapasya. He even wanted to make the Vaishnava's position insecure. These are some of the symptoms of asuric determination. Om Igyana Tumarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unimilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadanti Svabhadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpa Tubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Anyate Dam Vihasheham Yata Purvam Ojasa Kim Anya Kala Nirdutai Kalpante Vaishnavadi B. By dint of my severe austerities, I shall reverse the results of pious and impious activities. I shall overturn all the established practices within this world. Even Dhruvaloka will be vanquished at the end of the millennium. Therefore, what is the use of it? I shall prefer to remain in the position of Brahma. So today's class could be entitled, No Pain, No Gain. We've heard that before. I think it was coined similarly by, I think, first Benjamin Franklin, about how to gain a better position in this world. So this applies to devotees and anybody, I guess, who wants to gain something. But we'll see through this chapter how the difference between the devotee's pain, his gain, and the demon's pain, and their gain. So from the previous chapter, we understood how erudite Sri Hiranyakashipu was. He gave such wonderful philosophy based on the Vedas about the soul. He knew the soul was eternal. So here he is, that we could see the result of his demoniac knowledge. So he's thinking, oh, I'm eternal, and time is eternal. So therefore, I'll perform austerities no matter how long it takes me, and I'll be able to take over this universe. I'll be able to be the supreme controller. Even if I don't achieve it in this life, I can continue life after life since I'm eternal. So just see the demoniac mentality, full of designations, thinking he's the body and attached to the body. So he wants to somehow or another think that he can enjoy it with these senses eternally. So therefore he has a plan. And this plan is pretty amazing. He performs so many austerities for 100 celestial years without even taking a breath. Lord Brahma was even bewildered. And he even said himself, Lord Brahma said, that even great sages like Bhrigu and powerful saintly persons, they couldn't do this particular thing. Nor will it even be performed by anyone in the future. This is an amazing feat. So Lord Brahma was so impressed by this austerity that he pretty much surrendered. You know, it just came to him and admitted his defeat. Yes, you're just amazing. So what do you want? So this austerities that he performed were just amazing. He would stand on his tippy toes. That's a yoga pose, isn't it? With your hands straight up in the air, looking up to the sky, for, you know, just like that for 100 celestial years. And it was so long that even when Lord Brahma came, he couldn't find him because all his flesh and everything had been eaten up by ants. In fact, there was an anthill that was created around him, and they devoured all his flesh and blood by different worms and parasites, and there was nothing left. But by his yogic ability, he was able to maintain his life airs within his bones. And this is the power of the yogi. I mean, they understand they're not their body, so they could perform these feats. Even Srila Prabhupada said that there were some archaeologists that they came and recently, I don't know how recent he meant by recently, but they exhumed Lord Jesus Christ's, you know, body. They went to the place where he was, and they saw that his body was exhumed, and he went and lived some other place. He was in a tomb. In fact, Prabhupada said that there's yogis that you could bury them, you know, for days, and, you know, take them out and they'll be okay. He said not only days, they could be buried for years, and they'll come out and they'll be okay. So this is Hiranyakashipu, was the supreme personality of, you know, performing austerities. So painful, can you imagine? But yet he tolerated all that just to satisfy his senses. Just see what people will go through, for the pain they'll go through just to satisfy some temporary itch or some temporary, you know, flickering of the mind to be satisfied somehow or other. And this is a demoniac mentality. In fact, one who performs austerities just for his own sense of gratification, he becomes fearful to the entire world. But a devotee, if he performs simple austerity, he becomes dear to everyone. What is it? Suridam Sarva Bhutanam? He becomes dear to everybody, because he worships Krishna. And if you worship Krishna, then you get the qualities of Krishna. And Krishna is dear to everyone. He's the well-wisher of everyone. So therefore, the devotees also, they're well-wishers of everybody. So the demigods are freaked out. You know, they're very powerful personalities, and they could understand Hiranyakashipu's mentality, that he's coming to take your position, Lord Brahma. We should do something. You know what happens when you get demons and rakshasas in the post of authorities and, you know, great rulers and leaders? It creates hell for society. And this is what they were afraid of, because they knew that that if you put demons in the guise of great leaders and controllers of the universe, they will distort the whole universal order. And this was his plan. He wanted to take the post of Lord Brahma and, become Lord Brahma. Like these great posts, they're actually empowered representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're like officers of his government. And so the officers, their position is to just obey the orders of the government, which is actually should be the representative of Krishna. He's the supreme governor. But if you get somebody that comes and tries to bribe the officers for some, cheating thing or sense gratification or get away from the laws, then that's illegal. He's a criminal. And this is what Hiranyakashipu was doing. He was illegally trying to bribe Lord Brahma. In fact, he offers him such wonderful prayers when Lord Brahma appeared to him, as if it was he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You'll see so many wonderful prayers. You think, oh, somebody's glorifying Krishna. Actually, he's glorifying Lord Brahma, seeing him as the controller. In a sense, he's similar to Krishna. He's the first expansion of Krishna in this universe, and he's empowered with Krishna to create amazing powers. He's like the super soul almost in everybody's heart. He can create and destroy and create, do so many amazing feats. And Hiranyakashipu is glorifying this, hoping to get some benedictions from him, pleasing him in such a way. So this is the nature of the material world, how people are trying to bribe and get out of the, governmental laws, somehow or another cheat for their own sense gratification. And Prabhupada said this is the problem today in the world, that the leaders of society are like rakshasas and demons. So it's a very fearful condition. I was just talking to a nice devotee yesterday. He's from Iran. And how we can just see how it's going on now. The government there, they're very corrupt, and they see anything related to God, they will just shut it down. And if you try to go to court, you get a lawyer to help you protect you, then what will they do? They'll put the lawyer in prison. And then if the lawyer's lawyer comes, then they'll put him in prison too. This is how the leaders, of certain governments and different societies are going on all over the world today. This is a fearful condition we're in. So the demigods freaked out and they approached Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma came. He was waiting for his austerities to fructify. So then he came with all the demigods and they Lord Brahma is so powerful, and he saw him and he said, "Oh, son of Aditi, please get up." Lord Brahma, because he's empowered with the Shakti practically of Krishna, just by his desire, by his will, he can make anything happen. Think how powerful that is. So just like a wand, he just sprinkles some transcendental water on him and then he becomes revived. Hiranyakashipu got a body that of molten gold that could withstand thunderbolts. It was very young and very powerful. And Lord Brahma was so impressed and considered himself conquered by him. He said, "Okay, what do you want?" So we know what Sri Hiranyakashipu wanted. He wanted to become deathless. He realized, and even Lord Brahma predicted that, you are, not immortal like we are. Lord Brahma and people in his planet are practically immortal. They live for such a long time. And in fact, at the end of their time, they can go back to Godhead in those same forms. They develop their Krishna consciousness. And Lord Brahma wanted that position. But he wanted it for his own sense gratification. To take over the world for his own pleasure. We'll see in the next chapter how he takes over everything and tries to enjoy the entire universe. Takes over the Garudas, even takes over Yamaraj and all the demigods. Everybody except, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva were serving him like menial servants in the entire universe. even Narada Muni had said was, not that he was controlled by him, but some or another, I think Narada Muni was also doing something for him. But yeah, this is a demoniac mentality. So Lord Brahma blessed him. You know, he started offering these wonderful prayers. Hiranyakashipu was offering these wonderful prayers to Lord Brahma. You think that, wow, geez, he's actually calling him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul in everybody's heart, you know, the maintainer of the three modes of material nature. All these things were at Lord Brahma's disposal, and he was using these things to create and to destroy and to maintain and to set this universal order and keep it in order. But what did he ask for? He wanted to stay here. You know, don't let me die by anyone created by you. And we know who he creates, practically everything. But he was trying to trick him and said, let me also not be killed by anyone not created by you. You know, kind of referring to Lord Vishnu. Or not any living entity, because he was afraid of Lord Vishnu's Sudarshan Chakra, thinking it wasn't a living entity, but actually it's a personality. Any weapons like that. You know, as if he could get that benediction. But it's not possible today. It's not possible. And this is the difference between great mystic powers of that austerities one can perform for perfection and austerities that the devotees perform. Look at the difference of Prahlad Maharaj. What did he do? He was only 5 years old. What kind of austerities did he perform? He just did a little devotional service to Krishna. He pleased Krishna. And what was the difference? He was born in a daitya family. He was a demon. Hiranyakashipu performed austerities for 100 celestial years that nobody in the past or in the future will ever be able to perform. But yet, this 5-year-old boy who only did a little devotional service, he defeated all the austerities of Hiranyakashipu, and Krishna himself came personally and protected him. Little Hiranyakashipu. I mean, this Hiranyakashipu protected this little Prahlad from Hiranyakashipu and killed him. So they're all this was just temporary. It was for like, what's the point? You know, all this pain. Hiranyakashipu's philosophy is all this pain for no gain. But Prahlad Maharaj is no pain and all gain. Because what did he attain? What did the devotees do? Last night, the spiritual master, Srila Jayapataka Swami, gave a really nice talk about the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And you know how he was saying how, you know, who wants the result of all their karma, right? Nobody raises their hand. But who wants the mercy of Lord Nityananda? Everybody. Why? Because he protects you. He was the most merciful to the most sinful. Jagai and Madai, they performed so many sinful activities you can't even repeat in a temple. They were so gross and really bad. But yet, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, they were delivered. And what austerities did they perform? What was it they were supposed to do? What is the austerity given to us by Lord Chaitanya? What is it? It's like, what are austerities we do? It's like we chant. Do you like to chant? Yeah, we like to chant. Dance. You know, read a little philosophy. And as Guru Maharaj said last night, and what is the supreme austerity that the devotees perform? Huh? The most supreme austerity that we do. Yes, he was there last night. That's why he knows. Take prasad. That's our austerities. So just see. This no pain, no gain philosophy is actually different for the devotees. We have no pain, but we have all gain. But if you're demoniac, you're going to go through a lot of pain. You'll think you have some gain, but you won't have any gain at all. We'll see this through the example of Hiranyakashipu, so-called very powerful personality. So let's take up the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and the austerity for the age is simply this Harinam Sankirtan, chanting, dancing, feasting, and a little philosophy. We may have to fast, a few days for a little while. But after each fast is a feast. This is the austerities of the devotees. So we should be very satisfied. Jai. So I'll end there, and if there's any comments or questions, we can entertain them. Jai. Everybody's ready for prasad. Thank you. I'll go to Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai.